1 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 31. And we'll just read the encounter or the discussion that David has with King Saul concerning his desire to go face Goliath. And then we'll pray. And then we'll present to you five questions that must be answered in your youth. Five questions that must be answered in your youth. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 31. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there took a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray, dear God, as we consider these questions, Lord, it'd be wrong for me to ask a young person to consider these questions and not have their pastor consider these questions. It'd probably be wrong for me to ask teenagers to consider these questions and not ask their parents to do it, their Sunday school teachers to do it, their grandmas, their grandpas to do it, because, Lord, these principles, dear God, in many ways are universal. But how important to settle some things in your youth. And so thank you for our young people. And Lord, as I kind of preach to them and through them, Lord, tonight I pray that you would bless the message, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I say this from time to time, and I think it's good for Blessed Hope Baptist Church to hear it. And I think now that I tell you the story, you'll more than agree because you witnessed it today. Somebody asked me at one of the camps I preached a long time ago in a question and answer time, "Preacher, what's the biggest mistake we make with teenagers?" And almost instantly my answer was, "We underestimate them. We underestimate them." Teenagers are capable of a lot more than we think they are, and a lot of times give them credit for or opportunity for. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:12, "Let no man despise thy youth." The word despise there means to undervalue. And if we're not careful as adults, we can undervalue our young people around here. Our young people have great potential, and they are gifted by God and given talents by God. And we want to, from the youngest of age, begin to incorporate those talents into the service of the Lord. But I couldn't help but take a step back and think of David as I was praying towards this Sunday night message, because David, as the Bible says here, was a young man. The Bible says that King Saul said that he was but a youth. If you do a little bit of study in the Old Testament and how the Old Testament law set the parameters and, by the way, set the qualifications to be a soldier, that a young man had to be 20 years of age in order to serve in the armies of Israel. And so the older brothers went, but one boy was sent back to watch the sheep. So we know because of that, that he was still in his youth. He may have been 19. He may have just missed it. He may have been 18. He may have been 17. He may have been 16. We don't know. But he was younger than 20, or he would have been with the armies of Israel. And so Saul, of course, gives us more evidence and it settles that for us, because when David shows up, now I want you to kind of picture this, okay? And I love to not just read a story, I love to watch it happen. And this little encounter between Saul and David is kind of a neat thing. Here's Saul, the king of Israel. He's surrounded by men of valor, and these are grizzled warriors and veterans. Now, I want you to think about this, okay? You watched this morning. You watched 15, 16, 17-year-old young men walk up on the stage. And you can imagine a young man in his youth walking into the presence of the king and saying, "I think I'm the one God wants to go up and shut that guy up. You know, I think I can do this." And it's really a remarkable scene. And it took Saul back, because the entire army the best of the best, the mightiest of the mightiest, were not inclined to accept Goliath's challenge. And here, a young man, a teenager, walks into the presence of a king and says, I think God wants me to do something about this. And listen, folks, watch this. That doesn't happen by accident. And there's some things that some questions David had to settle in life early to prepare him and make him the kind of young man that not only had the courage to do this, but the confidence to do it and the faith to believe that God could use him to do something that amazing. And so I look at the life of David and I look at this story in 1 Samuel chapter 17, and as I was meditating on it, just breaking it down, I couldn't help but begin to come up with some questions. So I'm gonna list these five questions for you. And folks, it's been a long day and you've worked hard, and I promise you, I'm not gonna belabor anything tonight. But I want us to answer these questions together. Every once in a while I feel like asking everybody to take out a piece of paper and say, okay, I'm gonna give you 5 points, and I want you to give yourself a score from 1 to 10. Okay? And on these 5 questions, instead of just yes or no, maybe just give yourself a score from 1 to 10 and see what you end up scoring out. Because I think that every sermon ought to be a process of self-evaluation. Now watch this. We're not careful. We're real good about getting our piece of paper out and decide we're going to grade a teenager that needs this message. Don't be thinking about our teenagers. Think about yourself. As a teenager, that maybe you're doing pretty good. If you're not careful, you'll sit there in the whole message and think about how much so-and-so needs this. Well, what about you? Because I don't think anybody here's arrived. And so let's all stay tender to the Holy Spirit as we are posed these questions. And I think David came to the right answers to these questions. Because of that, he was prepared to do some spectacular things, not just in this story, in this one chapter, but throughout his life. Let me give you the questions. Number one, watch this. What gets you up in the morning? Write that question down. What gets you up in the morning? Now let's look back at verse number 18, and I want to show you where I get this question. In verse number 18, 1 Samuel chapter 17, let's back up to verse 15. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem, and the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David, his son, so here's daddy coming to the boy that's still at home, take now for thy brother an ephah of parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of the thousands, and look how thy brethren fare. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. Now look at verse number 20. And David rose up when? Early in the morning. Now listen, he's probably a little upset. He probably is out there watching the sheep like any young man would be, thinking of what his older brothers are getting to do and how maybe he just missed it by 6 months. Maybe he just missed it by a year. Maybe he was a 16-year-old that was just mad he wasn't 20. And you know what? All of a sudden his dad pulls him in from watching the sheep and said, hey, I'll send a hireling out. I'll send one of our servants out because I need a reliable report. I need somebody who knows the brethren. I know someone will answer the right question. So I'm going to send you to check on your brothers and present. And can you imagine David? He tells him that I'm going to send you in the morning. Now here's the question. Did he sleep much that night? You know, when I was a young man, I liked hunting. And you know, I can tell you right now, probably most of my growing up years, especially when I was fairly young, I never slept. When I went to bed on August 14th, I hardly ever slept. I just didn't, because I just got eat up for a while, Brother Chad, about squirrel hunting, man. Now, August 15th was my father's birthday, but also, more importantly, it was the first day of squirrel season, you know. And probably back then I would have ranked it like that. I wouldn't now, but back then I might have ranked it like that. And I mean, you know, I'd get ready. I'd clean my gun, you know, 47 times in the first 14 days of August. I'd go out there and scout around. I'd practice my maneuver. I mean, and then the night before, but I had all my stuff laid out. I had my hunting stuff. I had my gun. I had my ammunition. Had my clothes laid out. And you know what? Honestly, about every hour, I'd wake up and look at the clock, scared to death that I was going to oversleep. You know what, folks? Listen to me. Watch this. What does that to you anymore? What does that to you anymore? Young people, what is it that is on the calendar that the night before you can't hardly sleep? Watch this. Here's a question for this culture, this generation, not necessarily our young people, but young. What gets you up at all in the morning? What gets you up at all in the morning? And you know what? If you'll answer this question, you're going to answer some things about you. I mean, folks, I'm going to tell you something. I didn't sleep much last night. I have a feeling we've got young people in here that didn't sleep much last night. And they didn't sleep much this week. You know why? Because they were getting excited. You know why? Because there was a day coming. You know why? Because they were preparing for something. You know why? Because they were something they got to eat up about. Something that they looked forward to. And what I just ask you is, what is it? What is it? Is it something that's going on in the world? Is that the only thing that can build that kind of an excitement in you? Or is it the things of the Lord? So question number one, what gets you up in the morning? Question number two, what gets you excited? These two kind of go together. What gets you excited? I love verse number 22. David shows up at the camp, and the Bible says, verse 22, and David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage. What's it say then? And ran into the army. And ran into the army. I mean, folks, listen to me. He, number one, had incredible energy. Number two, unbridled enthusiasm. What gets you up in the morning? What energizes you? Number two, what gets you excited? What are you enthusiastic about? David didn't park the carriage. It says he left it in the hand of the, what's it say there, verse 22? Left it in the hand of the keeper. I can see him race. Listen, I don't know what the speed limit was, but I'm going to bet he broke it. I have a feeling by the time he went racing up into that camp, that last couple curves, that carriage was going a little sideways. Why? Because he was a teenager. That's how they drive. That's why. Because watch this. He was excited to get somewhere. He was excited to see something. What gets you excited? Think about this. What gets you excited? I can see him screeching to a halt and taking the reins and tossing it to the keeper and looking over at the camp where all the soldiers were. And the Bible doesn't, listen. Can I say this, young people? Get excited about the right things. Matter of fact, get excited about something. I don't understand a generation that you just can't get excited about anything. And they just don't. I kind of kid about this every once in a while, but I was buying ammunition. Gander Mountain, which I try to do on a regular basis. And I'm just checking out the ammunition. And I don't know a whole lot about this thing, but there was zombie ammunition to kill zombies. No, I'm serious, real bullets. Am I making this up, Brother Reiser? You go to Gander Mountain, they have bullets, special bullets to kill zombies with. I thought, something's going on that I don't know about. So I better find out about it. And I found out that apparently there's something called a zombie apocalypse that's going to happen. I started reading up on it. I thought, I better go get some of that ammunition. Because I didn't even know these things existed. Apparently there's these things called zombies. And you got to have bullets. I guess bullets will kill them. I don't know. They got them at Gander Mountain. They must. And so I started doing a study on these things, and they're you know, half alive, half dead. I mean, they're kind of dead, but they walk. And, you know, all they do is just have a hunger for the flesh. And I thought, the zombie apocalypse has already happened. It's infected most Baptist churches. Now, come on. When it comes to things of God, now, if there's anything that has to do with the flesh, let's go soul winning. Let's plant a church. You know, let's go see a movie. He races the car because they got to get to Redbox. And when I'm saying it, listen, here's a fair question. What does it take to get you excited? You know what got David excited?
The men of Israel fighting an army. Watch this. God's people were in battle. And he's watching sheep and he's not happy about it. And he finally gets a chance. And you know what? When he comes flying around that corner and skids to a halt and throws those reins. And the Bible says he ran into the army. So I don't know how you want to read that, but I can see David doing it. You know what? Because at that age, when a kid decides he wants to get somewhere, he just runs full blast. And I can see him running into the army. I mean, a warrior comes around a corner, boom, kid knocks, you know, gets up, you see my brothers? Takes off again, you know. Listen, folks, he was excited. You know why? Watch this. Because God's people were in a battle, a life and death struggle, a battle, and he wanted to be a part of it. Hey, God's people's in a life or death battle right now. And you know what we ought to have? We ought to have young men that are racing to be recruited, racing to sign on the dotted line, racing to be involved with it. You know, you read about excitement in the Bible, and it's not just Christians that you read about being excited. Proverbs chapter 1, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil. Run to evil. And make haste to shed blood. And so something gets you running. Something gets you excited. Okay, the Bible warns us about those that run to mischief. Something gets you going. Something gets you excited. If the things of the Lord, you have to be dragged to and you walk to, or you find out a way not to go to. But when it's something that's evil, when it's something that's anti-God, when there's mischief about, you're running towards it. Hey, answer the question tonight. What's it take to get you excited? What's it take to get you excited? God used Brother Peter to warn us about this. Peter 4:1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men. Folks, we weren't saved to spend the rest of our time living in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, reveling, banqueting, abominable idolatries. Watch this. Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to. Now watch this. Run with, run to. That you run not with them to the same excess of riot. Let me make a statement here. Who you run with will soon decide what you run to. Who you run with will soon decide what you run to. Hey, what gets you excited? What gets you excited? Here's the third question. Watch this. What in your life is bigger than yourself? What in your life is bigger than yourself? Look, if you will, at verse number 29. Very famous verse. Here's a young man, a teenager. What's he saying? David said, what have I now done? What's the next question? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Now, folks, listen to me. At some point in your life, these are questions you ought to answer in your youth. What gets me up in the morning? What gets me excited? What is it in my life that's become bigger than myself? And somewhere in your youth, you'll either find that thing, and hopefully it's God and God's work, the cause of Christ. The cause of Jesus Christ. Hopefully that at some point just takes over in your life. I appreciate the testimonies. Appreciate the testimonies of our young people. Appreciate a letter I got from one of our young ladies here a while back where she penned these words. Preacher, I will live my life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you got to the point where you've been willing to write it down? I will live my life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, there's something bigger than you. There's something bigger than me. Is there not a cause? Preacher, there's a big giant out there. Is there not a cause? But it seems like the Philistines are winning. Is there not a cause? But they're better armed than us. Is there not a cause? But there's no way we can stand against them. Is there not a cause? And folks, listen to me. At some point, we've got to face these questions. And young people, if you'll face them in your youth, if you'll face them in your youth and answer them in your youth and settle some things in your youth, it'll set the course of your life. There's not a person that's serving the Lord today as an adult that didn't have to make some decisions at some point in their youth. Just because you're raised in a Christian home didn't mean that you were raised without a free will. And every single one of our young people, sooner or later, you're going to have to make a decision. What is bigger than you? What is more important than you? What is more important than what you want to do? What's more important than what your flesh wants to do? What's more important than what the world has to offer? I want to give you the answer to that question. And it's all found in one word, Jesus. Jesus. Yeah, but preacher, what about? I said Jesus. Yeah, but this person's disappointed. I said Jesus. Yeah, but Christians don't always. I said Jesus. I said Jesus. I said Jesus. You know what? Find something wrong with him. Listen, Jesus to me is worth living for. Everything that he did for me. How in the world? Listen, he left us with a cause. Before he was ascended up to heaven, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He left us with a cause. What I'm saying is at some point in your life, you have to ask yourself this question and answer it. What in your life is bigger than yourself? And listen to me, sadly, if some of you are honest tonight, come on, it's just me, you, and God. Let's, come on. You would have to say, preacher, the honest truth, if I was honest, if I'm lying, I'm dying. If I was honest tonight, there's nothing in this life more important than me. And let me say this, folks. That will set you up for a sad and pathetic existence on this planet. Sad and pathetic. Here's another question. Watch this. When it comes to facing Satan, do you have a victorious attitude or a defeated attitude? Now let's go back to our text. And let's read this. Now again, I kind of set this up. So you picture, here's a young man that, good night, doesn't really need to shave yet. He does it, but he don't really need to. The Bible says he was of ruddy face. I think he looked kind of a baby face. And he comes walking in and looks up at a king and says, what? Well, what's he say? Verse 32, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight this Philistine. Now, you may deem that cocky. You may say, you know, if we're not careful, we see a young man that's actually got some courage, got some gumption. Oh, he's just a smart, he's just cocky. He doesn't even know what he's talking about. Well, you call it whatever you want to. I'm not for a young person being cocky, but I will say this. I'm for young people having a Christ confidence. Because my Bible says I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Listen, the hero of this chapter was not somebody that was hiding from Goliath. The hero of this, you say, well, I don't know. Some of these kids just seem like they're a little self-assured. Praise the Lord. I don't think they are. I think they're Christ assured. Okay, I'm not for, sometimes people, I'm worried about damaging their self-esteem. Folks, I don't care if you have any self-esteem or not. I want you to have Christ esteem. Okay, they just don't have much confidence in themselves. Good, because they're going to find out real quick that that's the person that will let them down the most in this world. I'm not talking about that stuff. I'm not talking about being cocky. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about, see, David had some, we talk about this month, climbing the mountain of supernatural encounters with God. David had some of those encounters with God. David knew what it was for the Spirit of God to rest upon him. David knew what it was for God to give him the strength to be victorious. Yeah, maybe they were considered by most minor skirmishes and they were fought in private. But you know what? David came out of those mountains protecting those sheep with the blood of a bear and the blood of a lion on his hands. And you know what? He just kind of had this idea that if God told him to do something and God told him to fight for him, that God would give him the victory. Listen, folks, the devil's a bully. Now, young people, I want to tell you something. I want you to get this. Sooner or later, there's only one way to deal with a bully. Okay? And you're not going to sit down and rationalize with a bully. You know what you're going to do? You're going to take a ball bat and hit him between the eyes. I mean, that's good preaching, isn't it? Amen? I know some of you mothers are already wilting, you know, because I'm just telling you, real life, sooner or later, if a guy's going to bully you and bully and bully, there's only one. You know what? I want to help you with this. I'm not picking on it, but listen, the devil's a bully. Now, how long are you going to let him push you around? But I can't, you say, preacher, I can't defeat him. I know you can't, but you've got a big brother that can take him. And with Christ's help, you can. And listen, you know what? I don't look at this as being cocky. I don't see some young, you know what I do? I love it when some teenager walks in and says, preacher, you know what I think we could do? And I just sit back and I think, thank God. And they need to be taken down a few notches. No, they don't. Leave them alone. No, they don't. Leave them alone. Think, you know what they're doing? They're beginning to taste. You know, kids, let me tell you what happened this morning. Watch this. You young people are up here and you got involved in that. Let me tell you what happened this morning. You killed a bear. I mean, you don't know how hard, I mean, fifth, sixth grade boys, you don't think they had a big part. You know what it took for some of those boys just to walk up and take that plate and go all the way down an aisle and not drop it? That may not seem like a big deal, but you know what? We need to just say, go kill that bear. Preacher, I'm too scared to do it. You know, it starts young. They just take young steps. Okay, they get a little older, and I'm like, you know, I love what Janae said. You know, our preacher, he's always going to put us in, you know, he's put us in these situations. Yes, I am. I don't know Jesse. I can't wait to meet him in heaven. I'm talking about David's dad, Jesse. I'm talking about a Jesse that's a real man. I'm talking about Davis. But okay, moms, I'm going to help you if you'll let me. Okay, the boys are all off the army, and the youngest one's there. And come on, man, this you go watch the sheep. All right, do you understand what you just sent that teenage boy to do? Okay, there's lions and tigers and bears. Oh, no, that's... I mean, he had to kill a bear. Mom, sooner or later, I'm going to say it again. I'll say it, and then you can get mad at me for another 3 or 4 months. But I'm going to keep saying it. Okay, up to the time when that youngster's 10, 11 years old, I understand you're pretty much the primary, but if you've got a young man, at some point you need to step back and let daddy turn him into a man. You need to step back and let the men of the church just kind of take him. You know, Jesse's wife, you know, I'm sure first time he grabbed that kid at 11 or 12 or 13 years of age, said, take them sheep up there. I mean, she probably went in her room and cried. She said, you know what? We're going to find nothing left of him. He's going to get eaten by a bear. But you know what he did? By the way, watch this. Moms and dads, watch this. He had to find God up on that mountain. There wasn't nobody but him and God. And sometimes we've got this envelope of protection, and I'm all for raising kids sheltered, but I'm not for keeping young men, not giving young men opportunity to go out and face some lions and face some bears in their youth. You might as well find out what you're made of. You get a little bit of lion blood. I mean, you face something that you think, I'm dying, I'm going to die, but you know what? That bear's going to die too, and God gives you the victory. And yeah, you're scraped and scratched up, beat up a little bit, but you know what? You're standing on top of that carcass afterwards going, ah! And I think that's what David did. Okay, Max, I'm going to ask you, if you were up in that mountain and you killed a bear, you're going to tell me afterwards you wouldn't go, Would you do that? All right. See, that's what I'm talking about right there, man. Come on, because that's what boys do. You know what I would have done? I'd have taken a knife, and I'd open it up, and I'd have cut his heart out and went, yeah? Yeah. Amen. See? I probably would have took his blood and, like, went across my forehead, down my cheek, taken my shirt off. Ah! I would have. You wouldn't do that? Would you not? You don't know. You never killed one, but if you did, I think you would. I got, watch this, folks. I know men, young men. I love them. And they're in their 20s and 30s, and they've never killed a lion, never killed a bear. And every time Goliath lifts his voice, they go and cower somewhere, and we are losing. We are losing. Because we don't have an army of young men. Some of you this morning, you know what, man? I mean, I ask you to do something, and honestly, you found God in a way this week you never found him because you're like, I can't do this, but guess what? Guess what? You did. Guess what? You did. When it comes to facing the devil, you're either going to have a victorious attitude or a defeated attitude. I'll give you the last question. When facing a giant, are you inclined to run towards him or away from him? David had courage. Verse 48, David hastened and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. And at some point, young men, I'm talking to young men, but young ladies, you have to develop these same things in your heart. At some point, when a giant shows up, you've got to decide what you're going to do. He had older brothers. Come on now. Let's just get down to where we live here. He had older brothers that when the Philistines showed up, they ran the other way. There's people he should have been able to look up to and watch them go fight that giant. But, man, isn't that sad, Brother Dan? He didn't have one example of a man in his life at that army that was doing what he should have done. And even when he tried to call him on it, they rebuked him and treated him wrong and laid false accusations against him. You know why? Because he was exposing their cowardice. And I could just see this young boy, and you know what? He's so excited to be there, and he's heard all these stories about the warriors and the valor of Israel and what a privilege it is to fight for the only true God. And he shows up, and his first experience is to watch men cower. And I could see David. I don't know how it all happened, but I can see David walk back to a place in the camp where he's by himself and just tears run down his face and say, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. This isn't what I thought it was going to be. I thought I was going to come here and watch heroes. And I think he started out being disappointed. And I think he started out, then he went to frustration. Watch this. It's okay. I'm going to say it. Then I think he just got mad. And I think he just finally went like this and said, all right, fine. Fine. He goes over and says, where's King Saul's tent? And you know what, folks? From that point on, the rest is history. You know why? Because sooner or later, when that giant comes, young people, listen, giants look real tough. Giants look real tough. But when you run towards them and you got the hand of God and the power of God on you, and all you got is a sling and five stones, they don't have a chance. Not if you're fighting for God. Five questions to answer in your youth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for opportunity to, I hope tonight, congratulate and encourage our young people as they go forward in their Christian life. Important questions. Questions that will be answered. They will not be ignored. Whether we choose to look at them, face them, whether we choose to verbalize an answer, sooner or later, every single person in this room will answer these questions. If not with their lip, they'll answer it with their life. Lord, thank you, dear God, for every single member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Thank you for every adult that influences and helps and is a blessing and praise for our young people. Thank you for all those that are in some ways pouring their lives into our young people. And thank you, dear God, for the privilege, and I mean this, to pastor the young people that I watched this morning. Give them courage, God. There's more battles ahead. Give them courage. Help them to want to get up in the morning for the right reasons. Help them to get excited for the right reasons. Lord, I pray, dear God, that they would learn, dear God, that there are things that are bigger than themselves. And help them, dear God, to have a victorious attitude. An I can do all things through Christ attitude. And anything that you would ask them to do in life. And Lord, I pray, dear God, when it comes to facing the devil, that sooner or later, Lord, they would learn that the Bible's true when it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. I pray, dear Lord, that they stand up to this supernatural bully in their life and get victory. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you do a work of grace, please, through this message in our hearts tonight, in Jesus' name.